إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 13th session from the book Min Akhlaq al-Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, yani the character and morals of the prophets, yani taking the character and morals of the prophets as a model, an example to be followed, by Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Sadhan, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. And our topic this evening is dealing with the mercy of the Prophets alayhi salatu wasalam in dealing with those whom they are calling to Allah. And secondly, after that, yani the adherence of the Prophets and Messengers alayhi salam to that which they commanded the people with, and avoiding that which they prohibited them from. Both of these topics are equally important, and we hope inshallah that they will be a reminder to us of that which we already know, but inshallah hopefully it will be a reminder to us that might inspire us and motivate us to do better in complying yani with the good characteristics and qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called us to in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Before we look at the topics for tonight, we want to quickly review the questions from last week, questionnaire study guide number 12. The first question, mention a hadith which shows that ikram al-dhaif, yani honoring guests, is an important aspect of iman. Naam.
وعن ابي شريح والدي ابن عمر الخزاعي رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من كان يقول من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الاخر فليكرم ضيفه جائزته. قال وما جائزته يا رسول الله؟ قال يومه وليلته والضيافة ثلاثة أيام، فما كان وراء ذلك فهو صدقة عليه. متفق عليه.
طيب، جزاك الله خير. As we mentioned, this hadith has various any wordings where the narrations are slightly a little bit different. But in any case, yani the core of it, of this hadith that's narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Abu Shuraih radiyallahu anhu, is that yani from the things that are from the perfection of iman is honoring one's guest. Honoring one's guest. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned some details of how we entertain our guests, and from that he said the ja'iza, yani the special treatment that a guest should receive is for a day and a night. And ad-diyafa, general hospitality, is for 3 days. And whatever is after that is sadaqah. Whatever after that, yani if a person does more than a sadaqah. And this is very important. The point of this hadith, the point of mentioning it, it's not from the book, but the point of mentioning it is for us to see the importance of honoring guests. That it is indeed an aspect of the completion and perfection of iman. The second question, who are the guests of Ibrahim alayhi salam mentioned in the Quran, mentioned by Allah in the Quran? Yani, the Shaykh gave two references, the 11th surah 69th ayah and the 51st surah ayah 26 and 27. Who are the guests of Ibrahim mentioned? Naam, Abdullah. Naam? Oh, okay, I didn't hear. I'm sorry. What did you say first though, before you said angels? Al-Malaika, okay. Naam. Al-Malaika, yani the guests of Ibrahim alayhi salam mentioned by Allah in these ayats in the Quran were malaika, angels. They were angels. Yani at the time when they came to him, he didn't know they were angels. He just yani saw them as people passing by, and he took them in yani to host them. Naam. And the way he treated them yani was because he felt that they were in need. And this is the way we should treat our guests, like they are in need. Maybe they are not in need, but anyway, still you should honor your guests. Yani even if they are not poor and they are not needy. And the angels, of course, are not in need of anything that we can offer to them. Question number three. What was the bushra, good news, which they were bringing to Ibrahim alayhi salam? What was the bushra that those angels came to give to Ibrahim alayhi salam, Abu Sa'id? The news of a son, naam. Who was that son? Somebody? Naam? Ishaq. And? Ra? And after him, Ya'qub. A son and a grandson, both of whom would be prophets. Question number four. Discuss the significance of the fact that the guests of Ibrahim alayhi salam came unannounced. What is the significance of this fact that the guests came unannounced? What's the point? Naam.
The significance of them coming unannounced is that the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam still treated them. He still hastily went to their aid and service immediately. Well, others probably would say, listen, I cannot serve you. You didn't let me know anything.
And even though they came unannounced, he still, without hesitance, he hastened to serve them, to host them. Naam, Abdullah? He didn't treat them any differently because they came unannounced. He made no differentiation between the guests who come that you have invited, or you know they're coming and you prepare for them, and the one who come unannounced. Treated them the same. He treated them the same. Yani they have the same rights. Guests have rights over us that we must honor. Question number five. Discuss five aspects of the diyafa, the hospitality and karam, generosity of Ibrahim alayhi salam in this story. Five aspects of this story. Just give me one of them. Now, Musa.
Hastening to give them the food.
Hastening to serve them some food. Now, Abu Jamil. He gave them the better salam. Yani when he greeted them, they greeted him. Qalu salaman, qala salamun. Yani continuous, ongoing. Yani salam, peace be upon you all. That's two. Now, Naam, he served the food to them, he offered the food to them, also in the best of manner, in gentle, kind words. He said to them, he didn't tell them, eat, why are you not eating? But he said what? Ala ta'kulun, are you not going to eat? And in a gentle, kind way, he encouraged them to eat. Naam. Siddiq, naam. I'm tired today. He gave them what?
The best part of the meat.
The best part of the meat, okay. Like, okay, let's go a little further with it. Naam, Mustafa. Okay, he brought the food to them. He put it near to them. He didn't tell them, come to the food, but he placed it close to them. Naam. Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum. Allah yahfadukum. MashaAllah. This is our brother who came from far away. Abdul Bahri, MashaAllah. Naam.
Also, it was stated in the ayat, it said that, faqarrabahu ilayhim, that he went close to them. Even though these were strangers, he didn't stay at distance from them. He welcomed them and he got personal with them.
Tayyib. Kharrabahu ilayhim, yani put the food near to them, came close to them. Naam. Naam, Abdullah. Ala ta'kulun? Naam, yani the way, yani he encouraged them, and even presenting the food to them. It seems like there's one point that we didn't mention. Naam, Ibrahim.
It says, faragha ila ahlihi, he went to get the roasted calf. He went to them, his ahli, his family, secretly.
Naam, faragha ila ahlihi. Yani he went to them hastily and secretly, without telling the guests, wait a minute, I'm going to go and prepare some food. Rather, he just slipped away quietly and came back quickly with the food that he wanted to present to them. Naam.
Then he brought them a
Naam, a fat roasted calf. Yani he brought them the best of what he had of animals, a young calf, fat, yani not one that was emaciated, and roasted, prepared, ready to be eaten. Yani roasted on coals, not on the fire. This is even better. Naam. And these are some of the things that yani is mentioned in the ayat that the Shaykh mentioned from the yani hospitality of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Naam. No, we didn't come to that. That's different. Okay. We didn't come to that yet. We come to that, inshallah. Fayyib, after this, number six, discuss the two main concerns of Lut alayhi salam when his people came to him upon news of his guest. This is mentioned in the 15th surah, 68 through 71. What was the two main concerns of Lut alayhi salam? From the back first. One was the guidance, the hidayah of his people. He was very concerned about guiding them. This is a great concern, that his people be guided. They were astray, they were corrupted. And he was concerned about guiding them. Naam.
The second was the protection of his guests.
And the protection of his guests. Siyanatul duyufi. Yani he was concerned about protecting his guests. Naam, he was concerned about the guidance of his people, and he was also concerned about protecting, yani, his guests. Question number seven, mention two possible explanations of the words of Lut alayhi salam. These are my daughters. Yani qala haulai banati in kuntum fa'ilin. What are two of the explanations that scholars of tafsir have given to this? Naam. The prophets are the fathers of the believers. Naam. Naam, so they are like his daughters. The people, the believers in the town, in his place, they are like his daughters. That's one explanation. Naam. Naam, if you indeed want the legal marriage, naam, then he's offering to marry any of the believing girls who are under his custody. And the other interpretation, naam,
is it also the banat?
Min Baiti, yani his own daughters, yani to marry them also, yani legally. Zawaj Shar'i, naam. Yani these are two possible interpretations of him saying, these are my daughters. Yani if you want marriage, then yani marry the girls of the town, the believing women that are under his care and custody. Question number 8, explain the expression Ahl al-Suffa that was mentioned in the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu concerning the karam, generosity and diyafa, hospitality of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam, Abu Jamil. There were people who used to spend the night in the masjid. They had no place else to go to. Naam.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to be very hospitable with them, and he used to take them under his care, and he used to feed them, and he used to also make the other sahaba take one or two of them to spend the night.
Naam, the Prophet ﷺ was very hospitable towards them, and he used to take them, some of them, to eat from his food himself, and he used to also ask some of the other companions to take some of them home, and in the evening, because these people didn't have any means. Naam. They were the guests of Islam, meaning they were the guests of the Muslims. The Muslims are responsible for them. Naam. And the Muslims used to take care of them. Naam. You want to add something else to that? They didn't have any family, they didn't have any wealth, they didn't have anything, they didn't have any other place to go. Naam. Naam, when the Prophet ﷺ had sadaqah, which he didn't eat from and his family is not allowed to take from, he used to give all of it to them. Naam. But if it was a gift, a hadiyah that he could take from, he would take from it and he would share it with them, with the Ahl al-Suffa. Naam. Anything else you want to add to that? Yani, so from this we can understand that they were what? What kind of people? Fuqara. Fuqara. They were poor people. They didn't have any other place to go. They didn't have any homes. They didn't have any family. They didn't have anybody to look out for them. They were the guests of Islam, the guests of the Muslims. And the Prophet ﷺ used to be the foremost one in looking after them and taking care of them. Question number 9. Summarize the essential elements of the story narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu in the above hadith. Yani the essential elements of this story. Summary. Few points. Yani from the beginning, kind of trying to go through it. Now, first point. Abu Hurairah was very hungry. This is the beginning of the hadith. He was very, very hungry. Now. Fadl.
That he didn't beg for, he waited.
Okay, that he didn't beg outright. He didn't just go sticking his hand out like this. Naam. So therefore he did what? Huh? And he asked the people, he would stop somebody and ask them something else to try to draw to their attention that perhaps he was in need. Naam.
So he stayed upon the road that he knew that the companions used to walk by.
He stayed on the road that he knew the Prophet and his companions would come by. Naam.
Went by him was Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu wa Umar.
Naam.
And they didn't work, they didn't notice his hunger. And the Prophet walked by and he knew exactly, he smiled at him and he knew exactly what was on his mind.
Yani Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came, Umar came radiallahu anhu, and then finally the Prophet came and immediately he smiled. The first thing he did, what? He smiled. He knew what his situation was, and he told him, follow, come with me. Naam. So then, naam.
So then he took him with him to his house, and he looked to see if he had anything with him.
Took him home with him, and he looked to see if he had something that he could offer to him. Naam. He found a bowl of milk. Huh? But he asked first, what is, he didn't know where this milk came from, what was it? So he asked about it first. Naam. And then after Abu Hurairah was ready to drink some of that milk, really being in need. But before that, he sent him what? He said, Ahlul Suffa. Told him, invite them, bring them to me. Naam. He was a little saddened by this, right? Because he was hungry. But more important to him than his own need was obedience to Allah and His Messenger. Naam.
And he was saddened because he knew it was the Prophet's custom that when he sent Abu Hurairah to get Ahlul Suffa, he would have him serve them.
He knew also that it was the Prophet ﷺ custom that when he sent him to bring the Ahlul Suffa, that Abu Hurairah would be the one serving them. And what is the significance of this?
That he was hungry himself.
Now he was hungry himself, but
the server
gets last. So he's going to be at the end of the list. Now, when they came, they asked permission to enter, and they entered and they sat in the appropriate places, not all over the place. And you're walking around the house looking here and there, right? What else? What happened to the end of the story? Abu Hurairah served each person one at a time. He gave each one of them until they were full. And then, until there was nobody remaining except the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Hurairah. And what happened at this point to end our hadith? Naam, Naziruddin. Again, tabassama. The Prophet ﷺ took the bowl from him. But he didn't drink, he smiled. And he told Abu Hurairah to do what? Uqud. Sit and drink. Washrab. Sit and drink. And then, when he drank, what happened? He told him, drink again. And he continued to tell him, drink until Abu Hurairah said, what? La. Walladhi.
Arsalaka bilhaq. Laysali. Ma'ajid. Maslaka.
He said, by the one who sent you with the truth, I have no place. There's no place left to take any more. At that point, the Prophet ﷺ said, give it to me. And he did what? Hamid Allah. Thumma ashrab. Naam. He praised Allah and mentioned the name of Allah, and then he drank that which remained. This is a beautiful hadith. And from amongst the points, there are many, the time is short. But the last question is, this some of the fawaid benefits of this hadith as mentioned by Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani rahimahullah. Some of the benefits of this hadith. And we're going to mention a few, because we mentioned over 20 benefits that he mentioned, right? And we didn't mention all of them that he mentioned. We selected some of them. And from amongst that we mentioned, Abu Sa'id, to sit when drinking. That's preferable, mustahab. Naam. Another point, Abu Jamil? To ask permission, even if you have been invited, ask permission before you enter. Naam. Now, Abdullah? That this was a great miracle of the Prophet ﷺ, that from this bowl of milk, all of these people drank their full. Naam. Ibrahim?
That is from the etiquette of serving, that the one serving the drink, after that drinker is finished, you should take the bowl from that person and pass it to the next.
Naam. That from the etiquette of serving is that when you give, the server gives somebody to drink, he doesn't let them pass it, but he takes it back and he passes it to the next one. Naam. Naam, Abdullah. That is permissible to let a person eat or drink to their full, especially in circumstances like this where people are really, really, and they don't know where they're going to get their next meal for. Otherwise, we shouldn't eat our full. We shouldn't eat to our full. But it's permissible, certain circumstances. Abu Jamil?
A Muslim should strive to know the condition of the Muslim.
Naam, that we should know the condition of our people. We should recognize this. Naam. The virtues of Abu Huraira. Naam. This story shows great virtues of Abu Huraira. A lot of them. Naam. What else? Yeah, somebody else. Where is everybody else? Ibrahim. Naam.
The permissibility of the Prophet
Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taking from the gifts, but not from the sadaqah. Naam. Abu Sa'id? Closeness to the companions. Naam. Hospitality of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and giving preference to others over his own self and his family and his servant. Naam. Even though they only had a little. What about if they had a lot? Naam. And there are a lot of benefits, many, many more. Yani, alhamdulillah, yani, this is some of them. This is some of them. Fine. Inshallah, tonight, our topic that we want to discuss, very important topic. May Allah make it easy for us to complete it. The rahmah, rahmatuhum alayhim salam bil mad'uween. Yani, the mercy, the compassion of the prophets alayhim salam with those whom they are calling to Allah. Why is this topic so important? Because every one of us is responsible to call people to Allah. And it is incumbent upon us to have some of the characteristics of the one who calls to Allah. And from amongst those characteristics is ar-rahmah. Yani to have mercy towards those who you're calling. Not to look at the people who you're calling, that these are kafirs, mushriks, filthy, corrupt, dirty people. Therefore, yani we can abuse them and speak harshly to them and rudely to them and look down upon them. Rather, to have rahmah towards those who you're calling to Allah. You're calling them to Allah. This is not for your own personal benefit. You're calling them to Allah. Therefore, it's incumbent upon you to exercise restraint and to characterize yourself with this characteristic of mercy and compassion when you're calling to Allah. Whatever you do on your own, in your own house, amongst yourself, for your own purpose or benefit, that's between you and Allah. May Allah help us in that. But when you're calling to Allah, we must exert ourselves and strive and struggle to elevate ourselves to a higher level. This is a very, very important task. This is one of the characteristics of the prophets and messengers, alayhi wasalam, yani their mercy and compassion towards those who they're calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani from the characteristics of the prophets, alayhi wasalam, that they are the most merciful. They are the most merciful of people towards those whom they are calling to Allah, raja hidayatihim. Why? Out of hope for their guidance. Why are they so merciful to them? Because they hope that by being merciful to them, that these people will be guided. Yani, somebody might be merciful to somebody for other reasons. Maybe because they want something from them, or they fear from them, or whatever it might be. But their objective, their purpose, was due to their hope that these people would be guided due to their compassion and mercy in dealing with them. فَالدَّاعِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ حَمُّهُ أَنْ يَهْتَدِي الْمَدْعُوُونَ. So the greatest concern of the one who is calling to Allah, yani from the characteristics of the prophets, is to be merciful to those who you're calling. So therefore it must be from the characteristics of everyone who's calling to Allah. Like the prophets, the same task of the prophets, calling to Allah, that your greatest concern must be that these people who you're calling, that they be guided. That has to be your greatest concern, that these people will be guided. That is really the goal, that's the objective. Not that you convince them that you're smart or you're intelligent or you're whatever they might look at you. That's not the goal. Rather, the goal is to guide them. And therefore, since this is the real goal, that the people be guided, we must be willing to sacrifice. We must be willing to be patient. We must be willing to bear patiently some of the harm that come to us from them. Why? Because of this great objective. It's our hope, like the Prophet and Messenger alayhi wasalam, that the people will be guided. This is the great concern of the da'i to Allah, that the people be guided. The first example that the Shaykh gives, and he gives four examples, Nuh and Ibrahim and Hud and Salih alayhi wasalam. The first example, Nuh alayhi wasalam, he said, يَتَحَبَّبُ إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ شَفَقَةً وَقَوْفًا عَلَيْهِمْ. Yani that he seeks to endear himself to his people out of compassion for his people and fear for them. Out of compassion and out of fear that if they are not guided, what will be the consequence? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 62nd Ayah, أبلغكم رسالات ربي وأنصح لكم وعالموا من الله ما لا تعلمون. That I am delivering, conveying the messages of my Rabb, and I am a sincere advisor to you. This is what Nuh said to his people. I am merely conveying the message of my Lord, and I am a sincere advisor to you. And when we are giving da'wah, we should make sure that we are sincere in who we are calling and the way we are calling them and why we are calling them. And this is what makes the da'i effective. Certainly, the proper knowledge is important, it's critical, it's necessary. But equally important is that the one who's calling, that they are sincere, that I am advising you sincerely. Don't imagine that I'm just coming to you to convince you because we want to increase the numbers of Muslims. Let them know that I'm only a sincere advisor. That's all. I'm coming to you to give sincere advice. That's from the heart. And the heart will meet the heart. And if Allah wills, these people will accept at some point, if we are sincere. Rather, not only did he show compassion and love for these people and fear of the consequence of them not accepting, بَلْ بَيِّنَ خَوْفَهُ عَلَيْهِمْ, he made clear his fear for them. He said, يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُ إِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. O my people, worship Allah alone. You do not have any ilah, anyone that deserves to be worshipped other than Him. There's no one that deserves to be worshipped other than Him. Worship Him. There's no other one that deserves to be worshipped. Indeed, I fear for you the punishment, the torment of a terrible day, a tremendous day. Yani yawm al-qiyamah. Yani that is, if you meet Allah on that day as a mushrik, I fear the terrible punishment, a punishment that is yani ongoing, that will never end, that will be continuous. This shows the compassion of the prophets and messengers, in this case Nuh, and all of them were like this, that their love and concern and care for the people that they were calling was greater than our own fathers and mothers. The second example the Shaykh gives, Ibrahim alayhi salam, when the angels came to him and then they informed him that they were going to destroy the people of Lut alayhi salam. Jadalahum Ibrahim alayhi salam. Jadalahum. Yani jadala means what? He argued. He disputed. He contested them. Yani was he arguing with the angels, like arguing like people argue today? That's not the meaning, no. But it means that what? He went back and forth with them. Yani they're coming to destroy the people of Lut. And him being the compassionate, kind, loving, concerned prophet of Allah, he was concerned about the people. Naam. And so he went back and forth with them. Said, what if you find, yani, 300 believers amongst them, will you destroy them? They said no. What about 200, 100, 40? Finally came even one. Yani, who's the one? The Prophet Lut, alayhi salam. Even one. Will you like he went back and forth with them, trying to convince them not to destroy these people that Allah had already decided to destroy. But it shows what? The compassion, the rahmah, the mercy. When the angels came to him and they informed him that they're going to destroy the people of Lut, he went back and forth with them, alayhi salam. فَقَالَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, Allah said about this, فَلَمَّا ذَهَبَ عَنْ إِبْرَاهِيمَ الرَّوْعُ وَجَاءَتْهُ الْبُشْرَى يُجَادِلُنَا فِي قَوْمِ لُوتٍ. Yani when the fear that had overcome Ibrahim from the angels, when they came to him and he presented them food and they didn't eat, he was concerned. What's happening here? What is this? He had some fear. But when that fear was removed, when it went away, and they had informed him of the good news, the glad tidings of his son, the son that he would have, he began to yani plead with them on behalf of the people of Lut. Inna Ibrahima lahalimun awwahun munib. Yani he began to plead with them. Why? Because indeed Ibrahim was halim. He was awwah. He was munib. He was forbearing. Yani he was one who yani called upon Allah humbly. He was yani one who turned to Allah constantly in calling upon Him and in repentance to Him. Yani Shaykh Abdul Rahman As-Sa'di, he says, Al-Halim, it means the one who possesses good character, whose chest is expansive, yani open, yani to the people, yani concerned, not yani just restricted to himself. He was one who did not become angered easily by the ignorance of the ignorant people. This Halim. Yani the people are ignorant. How ignorant people act? Ignorantly. How do they speak? With ignorance. But he didn't easily become angered because of the ignorance of the ignorant people. Awwahun, he said, mutadarrun ila Allah fi jami' al-awqat. Yani he used to humbly call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all conditions and circumstances, invoking Allah and calling upon him. And munib, yani raja'un ila Allah bi ma'rifatihi wa mahabbatihi wal iqbal alayhi wal i'rad amman siwahu. Yani that he was constantly always turning to Allah, acknowledging, recognizing Allah, showing love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, turning to Allah and away from everyone or everything besides Allah. And it was for this reason, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these characteristics of Ibrahim after saying yujadiluna, that he was yani arguing with us, yani with the angels, yani contesting the angels in their yani intent to destroy the people of Lut. It was for this reason, because of these characteristics of Ibrahim, it was for this reason that he went back and forth with them concerning a people that Allah had already decided that they were going to be destroyed. But due to his compassion, his kindness, his patience, his tolerance, yani his being one who was constantly in touch with Allah, turning to Allah, yani repentant to Allah, calling upon Allah, for this reason, he argued on their behalf. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yani here, Ya Ibrahimu, a'rid an hadha, innahu qad jaa amru rabbika, wa innahum atihim azabun ghayru mardood. Yani after this, after mentioning these characteristics of Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Ibrahim, O Ibrahim, turn away from this. Yani leave this. Stop this. Indeed, the command of your Rabb has come. Indeed, a punishment that cannot be turned back has come to these people. Cannot be turned back. Yani cannot be averted. Yani guaranteed this has to happen. Yani this is mentioned in Surah Hud, and 11th surah, 74, 75, and 76. And I think I forgot to mention the previous ayats. And the first ayat was from Surah Al-A'raf, 7:62, and the second quotation was from the same surah, 7:59. After this, the Shaykh, he mentions the third example, Hud alayhi salam, and he introduced the ayat that he's going to mention here, and he also from Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 66, 67, and 68 ayats. He introduced by saying, أَذَاهُ قَوْمُهُ وَرَمَوْهُ بِالسَّفَهِ وَتَحَكَّمُوا بِهِ. Yani his people, they harmed him, they annoyed him with their behavior. And they accused him of being foolish for calling them to the Tawheed of Allah alone and to abandon their idols. They accused him of being foolish. And they also mocked him and ridiculed him for his call of them to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And some of the scholars of tafsir say here that they had the haqa'iq, yani turned upside down. Yani it was they who were foolish. It was they who were foolish. And they accuse him of being a liar, and they are the deniers. And they had it in the modern language of the young people today. How do they say that?
Twisted.
Naam. They harmed him, they annoyed him, they accused him of being foolish, and they ridiculed him. قَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ قَوْمِهِ. Yani the leaders of his people, of those who disbelieved from amongst his people, they said, إِنَّا لَنَرَاكَ فِي سَفَاحَةٍ وَإِنَّا لَنَظُنُّكَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. That indeed, we see you to be, to have foolishness, to be foolish. And we think that you are from the liars. Yani, it is more likely that you are just a liar. That's what the leaders of the disbelievers from amongst his people said. They, we see in you foolishness, and we believe you to be from amongst the liars. He responded to them, Yani after all of this, yani how did he respond to them? Did he say, to hell with you? Yani Allah is going to punish you in hell forever. I don't care about you people. Is that how he handled it? If they cuss at us or swear at us, they might even spit at you, some of these people. Because there are a lot of, especially in this city, but everywhere, there are a lot of crazy people walking the streets. And when we are calling these people, today we were talking to a man, right? He was drunk. I didn't notice that he was drunk. I just thought he was just like a madman. But he was a madman. He said that he's a what? He said peace to us. Yeah. But we have to yani, hold ourselves and restrain ourselves, because if we want to call people to Allah, sometimes people are going to say dumb stuff, crazy stuff, yani, bad things. And we have to yani, be in control. He said to his people, قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ لَيْسَ بِي سَفَاهَةٌ وَلَكِنِّي رَسُولٌ مِّن رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. But there's no foolishness. And I am not foolish, but rather I am a messenger from the رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. This is what it really is. أُبَلِّغُكُمْ رِسَالَاتِ رَبِّي وَأَنَا لَكُمْ نَاصِحٌ أَمِينٌ. That I am conveying to you the messages of my Rabb, my Lord. And I am to you a sincere advisor. Nasihun Amin. And here we come back with these characteristics again. Nasihun Amin. A sincere advisor. And this has to be the characteristic of the people who are calling to Allah. That we have to be sincere in advising the people to accept yani the worship of Allah alone. We have to be sincere in this if we want to be effective, especially in saving our families, our parents, our yani siblings, our neighbors, people that we grew up with. If we want to save these people, then we have to be sincere advisors. We have to be calling people sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. Yani the da'wah has to be with ikhlas. Naam, it has to be based upon the haqq. It has to be based upon knowledge. But there has to be sincerity. This is mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 66, 67, and 68. Then he gave them the good news. In whom ata'uhu bil khair. Yani basharahum bil khair. And he gave them the good news that good will come to them if they obey him, if they surrender to Allah, if they accept the call and worship Allah alone. He gave them the good news. And this is mentioned in Surah Hud, 11th Surah, 52nd Ayat. وَيَا قَوْمِ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ. O my people, seek forgiveness of your Rabb, and then turn to him in repentance. And then turn to him in repentance. Istighfar wa tawbah. And we talked about this in other, yani, many occasions previously, the difference between istighfar and tawbah. Yani istighfar is the person asking Allah's forgiveness in whatever words. Allahumma gfirli, Rabbi gfirli, whatever. But a tawbah is more than that. It means that a person has to stop what they are doing, that they are seeking forgiveness for. They have to stop it. They have to feel remorse for it. And they have to feel bad about it. And they have to make firm resolve not to return to it. This is tawbah. And these are the essential, yani, core elements of a tawbah. And of course, if it involves the rights of other people, you have to rectify that. You have to fix that. You have to return to them. Or, yani, whatever has been taken, or whatever. Naam. In terms of the rights of the people. Ya qawmi, istaghfiru rabbakum, thumma tubu ilayhi. Yursil as-sama'a alaykum midrara. وَيَزِدْكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَىٰ قُوَّتِكُمْ وَلَا تَتَوَلَّوْا مُجْرِمِينَ. O my people, seek forgiveness of your Rabb and turn to him in repentance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down upon you rain in abundance. And he will increase you, yani قُوَّةً إِلَىٰ قُوَّتِكُمْ. Yani these people were a strong people. They were known to be a powerful people. And he's saying to them that Allah will give you rain in abundance. And he will also increase you with strength upon your strength. Yani these people were strong, yani physically. They were strong people. And they said, Man ashaddu minna quwwatan. Yani to that extent. Man ashaddu minna quwwatan. Who's stronger than us in quwwah? That's how they saw themselves. Does it sound familiar? Man ashaddu minna quwwatan. This is what these people are saying. Allah who created them is أشد منهم قوة. He said he will increase you in strength upon strength. Therefore do not turn away from Allah as mujrimeen. Yani criminals. Meaning what? As people who disbelieve in Allah, who associate something with Allah, who disobey the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh, he says, فَأَيِّ شَفَقَةٍ وَأَيُّ رَحْمَةٍ كَرَحْمَةِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامِ بِأَقْوَامِهِمْ. Yani, so, yani, what greater compassion and what greater mercy than the mercy of the Prophet to their people, The mercy of the Prophet to their people. Naam. And the last example the Shaykh gives, and if it's time for the adhan, and after the adhan, inshallah, we'll continue. And hopefully, and the Imam will be kind enough to give us a few extra minutes, and so that we can complete today. The fourth example the Shaykh gives, Salih alayhi salam, he traveled the same path of his brothers from amongst the Prophets alayhi salam. He addressed his people, and he warned them of the result of disobedience. He warned them of the consequence. What would be the outcome if they are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And this is mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 74th Ayah. وَاذْكُرُوا إِذْ جَعَلَكُمْ خُلَفَاءَ مِنْ بَعْدِ عَادٍ. Yani, remember when we made you successors after the Aad people, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed. وَبَوَّأَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, and settled you in the earth. تَتَّخِذُونَ مِنْ سُهُولِهَا قُصُورًا, taken from the plains on the earth, your homes, castles, or palaces. وَتَنْحِتُونَ الْجِبَالَ بُيُوتًا, and carving out houses in the mountains. فَذْكُرُوا آلَاءَ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَعْثَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ. And he says to them, so remember the favors, the bounties, the provisions, all that Allah has given to you, and do not go about in the earth, yani acting wickedly, making corruption. Yani remember the favors of Allah, and do not go about in the earth with wickedness and corruption. Yani, what is this argument? This is the argument of what? Remember the favors of Allah, your Rabb, and therefore worship Him. And this is the great argument of the call to Tawheed that Allah mentioned throughout the Quran in a lot of different ways. That is, if Allah is your Rabb, then He's the one who deserves to be worshipped. Yani, the acknowledgement of Rububiyyah requires that they what? Acknowledge Al-Ubudiyyah. And the Rububiyyah is the favors of Allah that He has given to them, therefore they must worship Him. Yani, the Shaykh, he ends here this topic by saying, and after mentioning this point of what? The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, relating, yani, the encounter between the Prophet Salih alayhi salam and his people, فَذْكُرُوا أَعْلَىٰ اللَّهِ وَلَا تَعَثَوْا فِي الْأَرْضِ مُفْسِدِينَ. And remember the favors, the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, and do not go about in the earth acting wickedly and making corruption. And if you recognize that Allah is your Rabb who has given you all that you have of good, then in exchange for that, you must recognize that He therefore has a right to be worshipped alone. So these people, they were rebellious, stubborn, they turned away. And in spite of this, when he saw, yani the Prophet Salih and the other Prophets alayhi wasalam, when he saw them turning away from him, in this case he said to them, Ya qawmi, laqad ablagtukum risalata rabbi. O my people, indeed, certainly I have delivered, yani the message of my Rabb. I have delivered the message. And when he saw that, even he pleaded them, he reminded them, he encouraged them, he saw to no end that they were stubborn and rebellious and that they turned away from him. Then he said to them, O my people, indeed I have delivered the message of my Rabb. وَنَصَحْتُ لَكُمْ, and I have given you good advice, sincere advice, yani that which will save you from an evil consequence. وَلَكِنْ لَا تُحِبُّونَ النَّاصِحِينَ. Unfortunately though, you do not love good advisors. And this is the reality, that some of the people, when you give them good advice, yani they don't listen. فَالشَّاهِدْ أَنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامُ كَانُوا أَرْحَمُ النَّاسِ بِأَقْوَامِهِمْ. So the point here is what? That the Prophets عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامُ, they were the most merciful of people. They were the most merciful of all people towards their people. So what about us? Yani what about our da'wah, especially with our families and the people that we're in contact with every day, associates, friends, classmates, whatever, people that we're in contact with, that we see headed for destruction to yani permanent, deadly, ongoing, yani fatal destruction. What about us? Yani, where is the compassion, the mercy, yani the love, yani for the people, yani hope for the people to be guided to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This compassion is a necessary element. And Khalid, what time is the Iqamah? Huh? 8 o'clock? Allahu musta'an. So that means we have how much? 30 minutes. Okay, we're just going to quickly, yani, this topic is relatively short. It's a very important topic. But, yani, we'll see, yani, what we can do. Yani, just briefly try to mention. Naam. And the last ayah was in Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 79th ayah. 779. The Shaykh says, from the characteristics of the Prophets, من أخلاق الأنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام أنهم ألزم الناس لأنفسهم فيما يأمرون الناس به وأبعدهم عما ينحون الناس عنه. That from the characteristic, the character and morals of the Prophets عليهم الصلاة والسلام, that they were يعني most strict in forcing themselves to adhere to that which they were commanding the people with. They were most strict with themselves in forcing themselves to comply with that which they were commanding the people with. Not like as we see it too often today, that we are very strict in forcing other people to comply. But we are not like that with our own selves, with our friends and our companions, and our, I don't know, whatever you call them, the people that, our clique, our gang, our group, and the people that's down with us. We let them slide, we let them go, we overlook and pardon. But the other people, and we hold them to the letter. But they were what? The most strict in forcing themselves to comply with that which they commanded the people with. And they were the most, the furthest away from that which they prohibited the people from. They prohibited the people from, they were the furthest from it. The Shaykh gives two examples here. The example of Shu'ayb alayhi salam in Surah Hud, 11th Surah, 88th Ayat, 1188. When Allah, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us about him, his saying, yani the saying of Shu'ayb alayhi salam, Ya qawmi, ara'aytum in kuntu ala bayinatin min Rabbi, wa razaqani minhu rizqan hasanan, وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُخَالِفَكُمْ إِلَى مَا أَنْحَاكُمْ أَنْهُ إِنْ أُرِيدُ إِلَّا الْإِصْلَاحِ مَا اسْتَطَاعَتُ وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ. This is a tremendous ayat. Yani perhaps at some point we can take this one ayat and just do one class on the tafsir of this ayat. But for today, yani the meaning of it, general meaning of the ayat, that Shu'ayb alayhi salam, he's saying, oh my people, what have you considered? What do you think? أَرَأَيْتُمْ. What about if you, yani if I were upon a clear evidence from my Rabb, yani what I'm calling you to is based upon, yani that which is clear. وَرَزَقَنِي مِنْهُ رِزْقًا حَسَنًا. And he has provided me, given me good sustenance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani if this is the case, that I am upon clear evidence, upon a straight path, what I'm calling to is sure and certain, and Allah has given me provisions, should I not then be obligated to call you to worship him alone? Yani, should I not be obligated to command you and to prohibit you with that which Allah has sent me with? And then he said to them, and this is the point, وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُخَالِفَكُمْ إِلَى مَا أَنْحَكُمْ عَنْهُ. Yani, and I do not intend, I do not want to differ with you. Yani, be different from that which I am prohibiting you from. Yani, that I prohibit you from something and then I do something different. مَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُخَالِفَكُمْ إِلَى مَا أَنْحَكُمْ عَنْهُ. In أُرِيدُ إِلَّا الْإِصْلَاحِ. All I want is yani reform, yani reformation, rectification, correction, improvement of the situation. That's all I want. مَسْتَطَعْتُ, as much as I can. And after saying this, yani the scholars of tafsir said that after declaring himself to yani be calling them sincerely and only wanting that which is khair, then he adds to that, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And if I am successful in doing so, it's only from Allah. It's not because I'm better than other people. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عَلَيْهِ تَوَقَّلْتُ. He is the one I depend upon. وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ. And I turn to him alone. And this, yani, requires a lot of discussion, but yani, for today will suffice. Yani, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Shaykh mentions also from Surah Al-An'am, yani, 6 Surah 163rd ayah, وَأَنَا أَوْلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And he intends by this that I am the first of the Muslims. He intends by this, the meaning of mentioned in this ayat here, that I am the first of the Muslims, meaning that like every prophet, yani, he is the first of those from his ummah, the first one to surrender to Allah and to comply with that which he's calling the people to or prohibiting them from. He is the first one. He calls the people to do something, he's the first one to comply. He prohibits the people from something, he's the first one to leave it. وَأَنَا أَوْلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. I'm the first one to surrender and to submit to that which I am calling you to. Yani, every one of us has to ask ourselves, whether it's our children or our spouse or our friends or our neighbors or whoever we're calling, are we the first one to comply to that which we are calling to? Or are we calling people to something and we don't comply with ourselves? Wallahi, there's something wrong with that. May Allah save us from the evil of our own selves. The Shaykh says, this is وَحَكَذَا لِسَانُ حَالُ كُلِّ نَبِيٍّ مَا قَوْمِهِ. Yani, this is that which is spoken, not by the tongue, but by the real condition of every prophet with his people. This is the condition of every prophet with his people. Not just lip service, but this is their real condition. This is how they were. They were the first to comply. If I have commanded you with a command, I am the first one to comply with it. And if I have prohibited you from something, I am the first one to restrict myself from it. And this is from, the Shaykh says, وَهَذَا مِنْ أَعْظَمْ الْأَخْلَاقِ وَأَشْرَفِهَا. And this is from the greatest of character and the most noble of character. That if we command people with something, whether it's our children or our spouse or the people under us in any field that we are in, that we'll be the first one to comply with it. And if we prohibit them from something, we should be the first one to comply with it. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blamed those who oppose that which they command the people with. And what is understood from that is that there's praise for the one who commands the people with something and then complies with it themselves. And the Shaykh closes with two ayats, and both of these ayats require lengthy discussion, but we won't have time to discuss them in length, but just a little bit. Yani, from Surah Al-Saff, 61st ayat, 2nd and 3rd ayat. 61st surah, 2nd and 3rd ayat. 61st surah, 2nd and 3rd ayat. And again, I say, as always, please, whoever has the ability, yani, in the masjid there's tafsir of Ibn Kathir. Some of us have in our homes tafsir of Ibn Kathir, or some portions of the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah. Yani, whoever is able to go back and look at these ayats, please read the tafsir. Yani, if you don't read the tafsir, you can't appreciate it like you would if you read the tafsir. The first ayat he mentions, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَا تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفَعَلُونَ. O you who believe. Again, this is addressed to the people of Iman. Because it's only through Iman that people are able to comply with the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. O you who believe, لِمَا تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفَعَلُونَ. Why do you say that which you do not do? Why do you say something and then you don't do it? Why do you do this? Why do you say this and then, yani, your actions are not in accordance, are not in agreement with your speech? كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفَعَلُونَ. This is something that is hated, detested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala greatly, that you say that which you do not do. That you say that which you do not do. And lastly, the Shaykh mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 44th ayat, أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ أَفَلَا تَعَقِلُونَ. This is a question, but the question is not a question that requires an answer. Rather, the question is intended to be a rebuke of the people who do this. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ. Yani, do you command the people with birr, with righteousness and piety, with goodness, and you forget yourselves, meaning you forget to comply with that which you are calling the people to? You forget yourself. Not that you forgot, you didn't forget it. You're saying it every day, you're telling people what to do. But you forgot to act upon it. وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ. While your condition is such that you know you are reciting the book. Yani, you are doing this while you are reciting the book. While you have knowledge of right and wrong. Of the consequences of evil and sin and the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who believe and do good deeds. While you know this, you are reading about the promise of Allah of Jannah for those who believe and do good deeds, and the punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in store for those who disbelieve and who disobey Him. You are reading this, you are commanding the people with good, you know it's good, but you forget to act on it yourself. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Do you not have any sense? It doesn't mean aql in the sense that you don't know right from wrong. Like the person who, they don't know what they're doing. They can't discern right from wrong. It doesn't mean that aql. It means you not have sense that enables you to know something is good and to act upon it. To know something is evil and to refrain from it. We are human beings. يعني كل بني آدم خطاء. Every human being is a sinner. That's not the point. But the point is, yani, if you know that something is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why do you not do it? Why do you not do it? If you know something is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why do you engage in it? Yani, do you feel content with that? It's okay? You don't really have a problem with that. You're alright with that. I want to stop here, because I just want to mention briefly, yani, from the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, and then we're going to close, inshallah. Yani, I hope that Imam will give us just a few minutes, because it's time now for the Iqamah. I just want to read this one statement from Tafsir Ibn Kathir, and then we'll close. This is a very misunderstood ayah. This ayah that we just read, أَتَعْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ فَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ This is a very misunderstood ayah. Many people think, and even some of the scholars held the view, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blaming the people for enjoining good. That He's blaming them for enjoying good if they don't comply with it themselves. And therefore, if you're not going to do it, don't tell people to do it. If you are engaging in sin, don't tell people don't sin, because you're doing it yourself. This is the understanding that some people have from this, and that's not correct. Even though some scholars held that view, that if you're not doing it, you don't have the right to command people to do it. And if you're not praying, don't tell people pray. If you're not giving charity, don't tell people give charity. That's not correct. Shaykh Al-Thaymin, rahimahullah, explains this in the conditions of enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong. He mentions six conditions that a person must look at in order to enjoin the good and forbidding the wrong. From amongst them is this point here. Yani, some scholars say that you must comply with what you are enjoining upon the people before you enjoin it. Otherwise, if you're not doing it, you can't tell people to do it. But he said, no, that's not correct. Anyway, Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, says concerning this, and we're going to close with this. Please be patient with me a little bit. قال أبو جعفر ابن جرير يعني الإمام الطبري, the Imam of the scholars of Tafsir. He mentions the isnad of this statement, going back to Abu Kilaba, concerning the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we just mentioned, do you enjoin good righteousness upon people and forget the practice of yourself while you're reciting the book? He said, قَالَ أَبُوَ الدَّرْدَى رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ He said, لَا يَفْقَهُ الرَّجُلُ كُلَّ فِقْهِ حَتَّى يَمْقُتَ النَّاسَ فِي ذَاتِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ يَرْجِعُ إِلَى نَفْسِهِ فَيَكُونُ لَهَا أَشَدُّ مَقْتًا That Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said that a person does not have complete fiqh, understanding, until he hates the people for the sake of Allah alone. Until he hates the people for the evil that they do for the sake of Allah alone, his fiqh is not complete until what? He hates for the sake of Allah, but then he goes back and looks at his own self and hates himself even more. Huh? How many times that we must have found ourselves hating something that we saw was disgusting, horrible. But what is in our own selves sometimes could be worse. But we don't hate it in ourselves, but we hate it in other people. This is a very dangerous situation. Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, what is intended here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blaming the people for this practice. And He's bringing it to their attention, their mistake. The mistake in reference to their own selves. Not the mistake in enjoining good on the people, though you are not doing it. That's not the mistake in enjoining good on the people. But the mistake is forgetting your own self. That's the mistake. He's bringing it to their attention. And he's bringing it to their attention that the mistake is in reference to their own selves. such that they were commanding the people to do good and they were not doing it themselves. The mistake is not in enjoining the good. The mistake is not practicing yourself. That's the problem. But enjoining the good is obligatory. It's a must. You must do it. Whether you comply or not, you have to enjoin the good. He said, "It is not what is intended by this is not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blaming the people for commanding the people with good, in spite of the fact that they are not doing it themselves. In spite of the fact that they are not doing this, he's not blaming them for enjoining good, even though they are not doing it themselves. He's not blaming the people for enjoining good. Rather, he's blaming the people for neglecting your own self. Rather, he's blaming them for what? For leaving their own selves. عَلَى تَرْكِهِمْ لَهُ يعني for themselves not complying with the good. فَإِنَّ الْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ مَعْرُوفِ Enjoining the good is something that is good. وَهُوَ وَاجِبٌ عَلَى الْعَالَمِ And it is obligatory upon the person who knows. The alim here means the big scholar and you and me, the little person who knows. It's obligatory enjoining the good. It is doing that act is a ma'roof. It is a good thing and it's obligatory upon the person who knows it. وَلَكِنَ الْوَاجِبُ الْأَوْلَى بِالْعَالَمِ أَنْ يَفَعَلَهُ مَا أَمْرِهِمْ بِهِ وَلَا يَتَخَلَّفَ عَنْهُمْ So, but however, yani though it is still obligatory upon you to command the good, even if you don't do it, however, what is obligatory, what is more right, is that the person who knows does it themselves, along with commanding the people with it, and not just command the people and don't do it yourself. Yani command the people, yes, but also do it yourself. And this is as is mentioned from Shu'aib alayhi salam in the ayat that we mentioned previously in Surah Hud, 11th Surah, 88th ayat, yani where he said, وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ خَالِفَكُمْ إِلَى مَا أَنْحَاكُمْ أَنْهُ I don't want to be different from you, to differ from acting in the way, yani different than the way I'm expecting you to act when I have prohibited you from something. Yani also I want to comply with that which yani I have come with. For every فَقُلٌ مِنَ الْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَفِعْلِهِ وَاجِبٌ Yani each of these, commanding the good and doing it, both of them are wajib. These are two different things. Commanding the good is wajib and acting upon it is wajib. Both of them are wajib. لَا يَسْقُطُ أَحَدُهُمْ بِتَرْكَ الْآخَرِ And one of them is not dismissed due to abandoning the other. Yani if a person fails to act upon it, the obligation of calling people to it is still there. That doesn't go away because you're not complying. You're still obligated to enjoin the good. And this is the correct saying from the sayings of the scholars, مِنَ السَّلَفْ وَالْخَلَفْ Yani, that commanding the good is obligatory and complying with it is obligatory. And if one fails to do one, it doesn't mean you're excused from the other. Then, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir says that some of the scholars held the opinion that the person who is committing sins cannot prohibit other people from those sins. Some of the scholars held this view, and this view, he said, هَذَا دَعِيفٌ This is a weak view, that if you are committing sins, you can't tell people, stop drinking alcohol, stop gambling. This is a weak view, and what's even weaker is them using this ayah as a proof for it. There's no proof whatsoever in it for them holding that view. وَالصَّحِيِّ أَنَّ الْعَالَمِ يَعْمُرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَإِنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْهُ But what is correct is that the one who knows must command the people with that which is good even if he doesn't do it. وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَإِنْ اَرْتَقَبَهُ And he must prohibit the people from evil even if he is engaging in that evil. And we'll close with this. قَالَ مَالِكُ عَنْ رَبِيعٍ And Malik said from his teacher Rabi' رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ سَمِعْتُ سَعِيدِ بْنُ جُبَيْرِ يَقُولُ لَهُ Yani I heard Sa'id ibn Jubair radiallahu anhu saying to him, Yani Sa'id said to Rabi'a, لو كان المرء لا يأمر بالمعروف ولا ينهى عن المنكر حتى لا يكون فيه شيء Yani if it was so, this is a shart. And what comes after that is the jawab. If you understand shart and jawab, right? لو كان المرء Yani if a person would not enjoin the good, nor forbid evil until there's nothing in them. Yani mean they have no fault, no defect, no shortcoming. Nobody will enjoin good or forbid wrong till they're perfect. He said, if that was the case, مَا أَمَرَ أَحَدٌ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلَا نَهَى عَنْ مُنْكَرٍ Then nobody would enjoin the good. and nobody would forbid evil. If everybody was waiting, what? Until they were themselves perfect. Malik said, when he heard this, صدقة. That's the truth. He spoke the truth. And then he said, Malik said, من ذا الذي ليس في شيء. Who is it that doesn't have any defect in him, such that now he's qualified to enjoin good and forbid the wrong? The perfect one. Who is this perfect one? There's no perfect one. Malik said, he said, or Ibn Kathir said, وَلَكِنَّهُ. Yani that's true, there's no one who's perfect. وَلَكِنَّهُ وَالْحَالَةُ هَذِهِ مَذْمُومُ عَلَى تَرْكِهِ الطَّاعَ وَفِعْلِهِ الْمَعَسِيَّةِ. However, yani yes, you must command the good and forbid the wrong. However, this person who's in this condition of enjoining the good but not practicing itself, or forbidding the evil but not abandoning it itself, this person is madhmum, is blameworthy. Blameworthy for what? For enjoining the good and forbidding the wrong? No. Blameworthy for abandoning the act of obedience that they themselves should be doing, or for engaging in the commission of disobedience that they are prohibiting the people from, due to their knowledge, لِعِلْمِهِ بِهَا وَمُخَالِفَتِهِ عَلَى بَصِيرًا. Because he knows right from wrong, and he is what? Contradicting that which is right and wrong, عَلَى بَصِيرًا, knowing full well what he is doing. فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مَنْ يَعْلَمُ كَمَنْ لَا يَعْلَمُ. For indeed, the one who knows is not like the one who doesn't know. Pardon me for going over time. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. And as we get ready for Salat, brothers and sisters, let me just say to the brothers and sisters, to every one of us, yani, what we heard from the Imam after Salatul Maghrib about the condition of the Sadaqah in the Masjid here specifically, is not yani just applicable to this Masjid. Indeed, this is a Masjid that is in need, but it's applicable to yani to every Masjid and every people. Yani, we should be yani people of Salat and Zakat. Yani, people who not just pray, but we also give charity. Allah joins Salat and Zakat in the Quran innumerable times. Yani, when a person came to the Masjid, they should come to pray and to give charity. Especially if you know that a Masjid is more in need than another Masjid, or a person is more in need than another person. So let us, yani, fear Allah and seek His mercy and His forgiveness through Salat, the getting near to Allah through Salat, and through charity. And spend in the way of Allah. Don't be afraid to spend in the way of Allah. I'm saying that to myself first, and to each of us, brothers and sisters, don't be afraid to spend in the way of Allah. If you are called or if you're not called, if you're reminded or you are not reminded, don't be afraid to spend in the way of Allah. Yani, giving in the way of Allah, sadaqah, it does not diminish your wealth. In reality, it does not diminish your wealth. Just like humbling yourself for the sake of Allah doesn't make you low. Rather, Allah raises up the one who humbles himself for the sake of Allah. And Allah increases the wealth of the one who spends in the way of Allah. And Allah knows best.